Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you.
What's up, River family? While you're clapping, can you clap even bigger for Jesus? Come on. Come on, can we give God praise in this place? What an incredible God we serve. Such a joy, such an honor to be able to be here with you on tonight. The Lord is just truly amazing. Anybody glad to be alive on today? Sometimes we thought that it was the alarm clock that woke us up, but every now and again you're reminded that if it was not for the grace and the mercy of God, I didn't mean to get the party started this early. But I wonder if somebody can just make some crazy noise in this house for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that put breath in your lungs. Hallelujah. We give him the glory. And listen, while you're standing to your feet and you're clapping, I want us to make some massive noise for two of the most incredible leaders in our nation. I want you to just real quick, can you just look around. Just look around real quick. I mean, I hope that you don't think that this is regular. What is happening here, people said could not happen. But because of the yes of these two incredible leaders, we are standing in the midst of one of the most awesome moves of God. I think that it's significant that it's called the River. Because I think what God is doing here is going to flow to the nations. Come on. Any prophetic people with me in the house tonight? The nations of the world will sing God's praise because of Pastor Ryan and Dr. Lindsay McVitie. Come on and make some noise. Got to put some respect on that name. And also, while you're clapping, we have to make sure honor is important. Amen. We got to make sure that we honor the giants, these giants that are in this house, such an incredible legacy. And I just look around and think about what God is doing at this school and in this city and what he has done, you know, over these years because of the faithfulness of Charles and Jennifer McVitie. Come on, can we just celebrate them? God bless you. And my smoking hot wife, yo. Best thing since sliced bread. Pastor Chantal Nicole Beresford, sitting on the front row. I love her so much. Love you, babe. Listen. And I get to pastor the best church on this side of heaven. It's okay for every pastor to say that about their church. Serve City, if you're here, just wave at me. Serve City peeps. Oh, my gosh. God bless all of you. So glad that you're here. Go ahead and take your seat in this house. We're so full of gratitude. Listen, I'm excited to jump into the word of the Lord. I know you've been enjoying worship, but how many of you know that listening to the preached word is also worship? Come on, did you come ready for the word of God tonight? I'm excited to be able to share with you here in this moment. Glory to God. And so I encourage you to lean in. If we're not friends on IG, please go ahead, follow me at G. Andrew Beresford on IG. I would love to be friends with you. But I come tonight with an assignment. I was on vacation in Jamaica. And, you know, just praying through in a spare moment, I was really praying through what it was that the Lord would have for me to share. And God brought something specific to mind. There are messages and then there are assignments. And I feel like I came on assignment for somebody tonight. And I believe that what it is that I'm getting ready to share, I hope that it will be impactful and will be transformative for someone who is here. So pray with me and we'll jump in. Go to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Bible declares and says, the Apostle Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. King James says, I don't think that I've apprehended. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward. Somebody say, moving forward. Come on, put some caffeine in that voice. Say, moving forward. Moving forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. Bow our heads and pray. God, I'm so full of gratitude for the opportunity to share and declare your word in this moment. Lord, I say yes to you, yes to your will. And I pray that in this moment that you would use me to declare your word in a way that will be potent and impactful, so much so that lives would be changed and transformed for your glory. Beat back the plans and the powers of Satan. Overthrow his agenda. Overthrow whatever he has put in motion. And let your plan for tonight prevail. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Let everybody shout a good amen. Amen. Glory to our God. Glory to our God. Well, today, as I read this scripture, as I think about what it is that the Lord has put in my heart, I remember a time where something pretty crazy happened. And every time, the last time I was here, I shared about a crazy story. And it actually had to do with eating. Here I am again talking about food. And so, I'm a foodie. Foodies unite. Anybody else a foodie in this place? Okay, yeah. And so, anyway, I was eating at a restaurant that I will not call the name. And I was there with some friends. We were having dinner. And as I'm sitting there at the table, and we're just chatting back and forth, I believe I had Chilean sea bass. Anybody love seafood in this place? Okay, yeah. And so, it was an amazing fish, had some, you know, great fellowship. And at the end of the dinner, they said, do you want some dessert? I'm like, yeah, let's get this dessert. Mans are still hungry. And so they brought out some ice cream. It was ice cream. I believe there was a brownie there too. And I just ate the brownie, was dug into the ice cream. And I remember as I was getting ready to put this ice cream in my mouth, and when I got it in my mouth, I heard a voice in my head said, spit it out. Everybody say, spit it out. Spit it out. And you know, as Christians, we need to stop talking about something told me. If you're a Christian, you're going through life with a guide, not a guess. If you're prayerful, you ought to trust the leading of the Lord. God, protect me as I leave. And we pray and we put these things out there and we ask God for stuff and then we're surprised at times when he does it. But I heard, spit it out. So in that moment, I said, okay, and I spat it out. And I spat it out, and when I spat it out, there was a shard of glass that I was getting ready to swallow in that moment. And if I did not listen in that moment, I would have had some terrible damage that would have happened. And I mean, the restaurant, they were extremely apologetic. The glass that the ice cream was in was not broken. They went and they checked the prep area. There was no glass. Nothing had broken. You know, I really now look back and see that somebody probably wanted to shut me up. And sometimes we look at things and we're like, oh, this is just a coinkydink. No. How many of you know that from the time you were born, that there are things oftentimes that are assignments from hell upon your life to try to stop you from realizing what it is that God has called you to? But if you trust God, can anybody know Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon. Oh, somebody ought to be excited about it. You ought to shout, no weapon. No weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every lying tongue that rises in judgment, you will condemn it, for this is the heritage of the saints of God. And I love when God demonstrates this. Does this mean that we always get saved from difficulty or distress or challenges? No, we're balanced. But I love the fact that God demonstrates his power oftentimes against the attacks and the weapons of the enemy. Somebody that's grateful for that, you ought to clap and give God praise. Made it out of that moment. Really excited and grateful that I made it home and didn't have a mouth full of blood or anything of this nature or throat and issues that could have come as a result. But would you believe, shortly thereafter, I got invited to go to dinner. Guess where? At the same restaurant. And do you think I was enthusiastic about going back there? I mean, they even gave me a gift card and everything the last time I was there. But I was not enthusiastic. And immediately in that moment, what the enemy tried to do is that although I had this testimony of deliverance, he tried to tell me, no, you don't want to go back there. Do you remember what happened the last time? Oh, somebody sees where I'm going. Do you remember what happened the last time you went there? Because you went there the last time and this happened, you don't want to go there. And it was like the power of fear began to grip my mind and my thoughts in that moment. And I had to stand up in that moment and say, no, devil, the same God that kept me the last time. Come on, somebody. You're not going to have my mind bound any longer. Come on. And it was powerful because I was able to go there and have my dinner and enjoy myself and experience freedom. There's some of you that won't go to church and be a part of church because of what happened at the last church. There's some of you, oh, you didn't think I was going to come for edges and eyebrows today. It's some of y'all that you will not enter friendships when God has sent you some incredible relationships because of what they did to you in the past. Any witnesses today? The fact is that there is difficulty that we often face, and it's all because of what happened in the past. And I came on assignment, on an agenda, with an agenda tonight against hell in the name of Jesus to declare freedom. Come on, somebody. From the past. Because of the cross of Christ, to you who are bound, to you who can't sleep through the night, come on, you wake up with the bed full of sweat like you just ran a marathon because of the past having a grip on you. And I came tonight to declare, be free in the name of Jesus. I mean, I when we think of this, the Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians chapter 3, he's talking about the fact that he's pressing on towards the calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he's saying he's forgetting what's behind. Not forgetting what's behind in terms of the lessons that he has learned, but forgetting the past to the place where it will not hinder him from being able to walk into what it is that God has called him to. And it's very important for us to note this because Paul is someone who is extremely educated. He was someone who was excelling. The Apostle Paul, he's one of those who God used mightily, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And God did incredible things through his ministry. But before this, he was excelling. How many of you know that it's not just bad things in the past? Sometimes the glory days are hindering us from walking into what God's called us to. And sometimes you meet people, when I was in band camp. No. When I was in high school and when I was here, and back in the day, I used to work here and I used to do this and this used to happen and that used to happen. And sometimes it's not even the negative past. Sometimes it is the glory days that stop us from the glory that is to be revealed when we follow Christ into the future. And so when I think about this in the past and how it often gets us to a place of difficulty, as he says, those of us who are mature, we ought to think this way, that we're pressing forward. I think about the story and how the past can often hold us back. Think about the story of the Israelites. God reveals himself to Moses and tells Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. As was prophesied in Scripture, for over 400 years, the Israelites were bound in Egyptian bondage. And Moses goes and he calls them out. And after some rigmarole, which I won't get into, finally Pharaoh stops being a waste dude. And he lets this God's people go. And so they find themselves in a place, and there's some things in the periphery that I think are really cool, and I think we need to understand, even as we're talking about being delivered from the past, there are things that are at work that we often don't see. And the Bible says in Exodus 14, what book did I say? Exodus 14, and there's something I want to preach tonight, preach and teach simultaneously. Exodus 14, verse 1 through 4, here we find them. They've left Egyptian bondage. They're on their way to Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. The Bible says in verse number 1, says, then the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 14, verse 1, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of that place between Migdol and the sea in front of Baal Zephon. Everybody say Baal Zephon. Baal Zephon, you shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, this is interesting. One more time, say Baal Zephon. Now, it's interesting because they're delivered. God, after this, which we're going to look at in a second, they meet the Red Sea and he splits the Red Sea. But I want you to understand that Baal Zephon is the name place for a marine god that the Egyptian people and people in that area used to worship. And they would worship this god, and their thought was that they would get good fortune out of the sea because of Baal Zephon. And so God, not only, that's what I love about God, God was not just interested in splitting the sea and in their deliverance, but he was also interested in punking Baal Zephon. The Bible actually says in Isaiah 42 verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Now, it's interesting because this Baal Zephon God that is there at this sea place that God is going to get the glory over. You know, the thing is, many of us, we read stuff like this and we just say, well, that's an inanimate object. Why would God waste his time with this? And as I shared, he's not giving his glory to any other gods. But when it comes to the gods that these people often would worship, we often oversimplify. And so we don't realize, we're saying, well, you know, when you look at your neighbors down the street and they have a room full of idols or pictures that are there, and you're like, they're just worshiping things that are not real. Why does it matter? Can I tell you that there's more than meets the eye? That these carved idols and images and pictures, they're not worshiping just the pictures. It is the principality that is behind the pictures. In fact, the Bible, because this is what we do, if things that we don't often understand, we oversimplify or overcomplicate. And here, the Bible declares and says in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18, I'm just sharing this on the way to what I want to talk about because I think it's good. Verse 10 declares and says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Here it is. Rulers. Did he just say ruler? A lot of times when we hear of things like this, we just think Satan. Says rulers. Somebody say rulers. Rulers against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And then he goes on and says, take up the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in the evil day. And so there are principalities, there are rulers at work in regions and in places, and oftentimes behind things that people worship. And when we think that God doesn't care, in a relativist, time where as long gods are the same and as long as people are doing good stuff and we just need to coexist and everything. No, there is wickedness that we as believers, come on somebody, need to stand up against. We need to celebrate and declare the name of the Most High God. Come on somebody. Who will not give his glory to another. And so here, this happens in the periphery, and we skirt over these things often. Baal Zephon gets punked by Yahweh, the Most High God. And here now in the text, as they're moving onward, we find them at in chapter 14, verse 10. What verse did I say? Verse 10. And the Bible says, when Pharaoh drew near, so they're here, they encamp, they're there and they're at the Red Sea. Text says, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. God just delivers them from Egyptian bondage, and then now the Egyptians turn around, and they come after them, and they are full of fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what you said, what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Isn't that the way that it is for us at times? After God has brought you out because of difficulty that you face, you oftentimes long for the bondage that he delivered you from. And here, the past is trying to pull them back, showing up in the form of the Egyptians. And the Bible says in verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. And this is interesting because God delivered them from Egypt and then ends up parting the Red Sea. They walk through on dry land and all of the Egyptians are swallowed up, just as was declared that the Egyptians that were following after them, that they would not see anymore. But although they were delivered from Egypt physically, they were not delivered from the power of Egypt. And there are many of you, you are not physically in situations today. That thing that happened to you all those years ago, the person who did it to you is dead, but you still are experiencing the effects of what has happened. Oh, can I just keep it real today? And can I tell you today, I came on assignment to let you know that God wants to deliver you, here it is, from the power and not just the presence of the past. Fick it. Let me give it to you again. God wants to deliver you from the power and not just the presence of the past. Can I tell you, God wants you to be able to drive down that street, come on, and you don't have emotions, that you're not triggered by certain conversations, that God, because of Jesus and what he did, wants you to be able to be a part of a healthy church despite what happened to you in the last one. Come on, somebody, that God wants you to be able, I know that that relationship ended the way that it did, but that doesn't mean that every man or woman is there to jack your life up, that God can still give you a healthy relationship. I know that there's difficulty that happened in your marriage in the past, but are there any witnesses that God is a restoring God, that although the past is gone, he not only wants to deliver you from the past in terms of its presence, but also its power? And it's interesting because there are many of you in this place, and someone, you came and tonight feels like your last night. You're like, I just came to just give this thing one more shot. And I want you to understand that not only is hell and the principalities of darkness and all of this trying to get you and snuff you out because they can witness and see what it is that God has on your life, but you have a God that is fighting for you. Come on, somebody. That's not dying to meet you. He died to meet you. Come on. And he didn't stay dead. Can I preach the gospel? But rose from death with all power. And today he wants you to experience the freedom that comes by trusting in him instead of running back to the past. And it's interesting because you're saying, well, how do I know if I need breakthrough in this area? Because some of you, you're okay with just going through your coping. And you're to the place now where you're addicted to the emotions that were attached to the past. And so every time there's a minor breakthrough, can we just keep it real? You're like, man, I didn't mean to go this deep today. Well, God, I believe, has a deep work to do in some of you. Because there's so much waiting on the other side of this bondage for your life. Come on. There's so much breakthrough for you if you would open yourself to the healing and the breakthrough of the Lord. And so even in this moment, you're saying, well, how do I know? Well, look, I mean, this is the way that they acted after God delivered them out of Egyptian bondage and splits a Red Sea to where they are. And I know we think about these things and we talk about them like they're just kind of some fairy tale stories in the Bible. I mean, God does incredible stuff like this. He literally split a sea and had all of the wildlife that existed therein to be able to stand still to the place where the Israelites were able to walk through on dry land. And even after this, watch, the text says in chapter 15, so that was Exodus 14. Chapter 15, we find that the Israelites, they start out from the beginning of Exodus 15 celebrating and dancing. They're like, God has delivered us out of the Red Sea. And they're excited, they're dancing, they're singing. They're literally singing about God delivering them from the Red Sea. And then, later in the chapter, Bible makes it clear that they come up against some water. Verses in verse 22 of Exodus 15, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink it because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. 24, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? God just delivered them from the Red Sea, just took care of a bigger water problem. And they find themselves now here at another water issue. And instead of thinking about what God has done, this is how you know they're still bound by the past. Watch, because instead of trusting God in this moment, they start grumbling. Can I tell you, I mean, listen, they came out of Egypt, and Egypt was bad, but they weren't prepared to rough it. Anybody else other than me, listen, I am, first of all, I'm from Malvern. Big up Scarborough, big up Malvern, look. So look, yo, man's didn't, I'm not here for camping like that, right? I'm okay with glamping, like I'm good with being in the cabin or whatever, but I'm not really a fan of being like, my friends would be like, hey bud, you wanna go camping? I'm like, no, I don't. And so this is the thing, like, they're here, can I tell you that it was nuts because they're here in the wilderness, they're accustomed to Egypt, the bondage was more comfortable than the wilderness. Can I tell you, oftentimes, where you are right now, sometimes, because you're not yet at what God has called you to, where you came from looks better. And what they were doing in this moment, because God promised them Canaan if they would continue to trust him, watch, what they were doing is they were treating the layover like the destination. How many of you, the reason why you are longing after the past and why we know the past still has the power over you is because you are treating this in-between as if it is the place that God promised you. Until you get to where God has promised you, keep your bags packed. Oh. Listen. I'm telling you, I travel a lot, we fly a lot, and in the airport, wouldn't it look crazy if somebody in the airport decided to start taking, I mean, you know, sometimes the airports, you have a long layover, and we've laid down on the chairs and stuff, but I'm not unpacking my bags. Wouldn't it be weird, Joy, if somebody just started open up their suitcase, come on somebody, started putting up their clothes on the airplane chairs, start taking out their toothbrush and send stuff up. Who am I talking to? Wouldn't it be weird? You'd be like, what on earth are you doing? Because you're setting up acting like this place is permanent. Come on. When you have not yet reached a location. And I want to tell somebody today, you've been letting Satan trick you into thinking that where you are now is it. But I showed up to tell you to let the past go. Where God has brought you from, come on somebody, is not greater than where he plans to take you. Don't trade the layover like the destination. I dare you to keep your bags packed. Strut with your suitcases. Come on, somebody. Until you get... In fact, that's good enough to preach to your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Come on, tell them, don't treat the layover like the destination. Come on. Look at the next neighbor. Give him a high five. Tell him, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Come on, tell him, keep your bags packed. Woo, my God. Until I get to where it is that God has called me to, I am not treating the layover like the destination. Here they are. A test that's smaller than the one that God just took care of. Isn't that crazy? How oftentimes what God brought you through before this test was bigger. Come on, somebody. What God brought you through before was bigger. And now you're ready to throw in the towel at something that's smaller. Can I tell you, we were singing, I mean, all those songs were just in line. I tell you what, we're singing, Do It Again. I've seen you move. Come on, somebody. You move the mountains, and I believe that you will do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe, any believers in this place, that you will do it again. Can I tell you this? Not only does God want to deliver you from the power of the past and not just the presence of the past, here it is, but can I tell you this? Let God's faithfulness in the past fuel your faith for the future. Listen. You don't look back to the past to let it have power over you to pull you back. But I showed up to let you know that God's faithfulness in the past ought to be your fuel. Come on, somebody, for you to keep going until you get to what it is that he has called you to. Can I tell you that in this season, you got to get to the place where you take your testimony and throw it at your future. Everything that God has done for you, you ought to let that fuel your going towards the future. And even if you don't have your own, look at somebody else. The reason why we honor what God has done in the lives of these generals is because as God is calling Ryan and Lindsay to build this ministry, we look at the faithfulness of their parents and see what God has done in their lives. And people like us on the periphery are inspired to do what it is that God has called us to do. I dare you to look at God's faithfulness in the lives of your neighbor and don't be jealous, come on, but be inspired that if God could do it for my neighbor, he must be in the neighborhood. I want you to understand this, and I mean, because here it is, this is where they're at, and this is how you know they're continuing, they're celebrating, they celebrate it, and after they celebrate it, then they start complaining. Can I tell you that this difficulty came right after the celebration? Can I tell you that this is just on the way to what I want to share, that you've got to get to the place where you take praise breaks, but you don't break your focus. Amen. They were so excited about what it was that God had done, that they were not poised and prepared for the challenge that was to come ahead.
That's right.
And so here we find them in this place where they are murmuring and they're complaining. Exodus 16, again, after God reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15, he heals the bitter water and they're able yet again to have clean water. He does a miracle. But then this is how you know they were delivered from the presence of the past but not the power of it. Chapter 16, they're in this place again. And the Bible says in verse 12, I heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God gives them bread from heaven, supernatural bread, and gives them meat to eat. Yo, the man them eat better than Swiss Chalet. And we find them still grumbling and complaining. Chapters 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, they're grumbling and complaining again. And they want water to drink, and all of this stuff is happening. They just keep complaining all the way through Numbers 20. Can I tell you that true deliverance from the past is evident in your mouth? You know you need deliverance from the past if every single thing you always have to talk about what happened in the past. Yeah. One way or another, you keep sneaking up. It's always going to be, you know, those type of people where every time you're talking, you could be talking about cupcakes. You'd be like talking about cupcakes and they're like, yeah, but you know what? Cupcakes, Jenny used to eat cupcakes. And then you go into the elevator and you're like, hey, bro, can you hit number 3? We're going up to the third floor. You know, Jenny used to live on the third floor. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can tell if you're delivered by your linguistics. What is it? How are you talking about where you came from? Are you still talking about the thing that happened to you in a way that has you bound? Or are you talking about it in the way, come on, somebody, that says, yes, this happened to me, but I am still here because of the grace and the mercy of God. Somebody in this place that knows that God is a deliverer, you ought to open those mouths and give the Lord the praise. Look, I'm almost done. I'm done. I'm done in a second. I want you to peep this. I want you to understand this. They kept forgetting about what it was that God had done, and it was evident in their mouth. Because they were continuously talking about it. Some of you need to sit down and talk with a Christian therapist. Some of you need to go and talk to your pastor. Some of you need to get to be a part of a life group and open up and share and be real and be vulnerable. There are conversations that need to be had. Some of you need to be honest about where you are, because God wants to give you breakthrough. And oftentimes you are bound because of the fact that, watch, the Israelites interacted with God situationally as opposed to relationally. This is why every situation that they faced and everything that they were up against, they flip-flopped as it pertained to God. But when you truly trust God and His character because of who He is and because of His track record, it's not based upon whatever you're facing in this moment. It's not going to change your perspective towards Him. Forgetfulness about God's faithfulness fuels fearfulness and leads to faithlessness. Forgetfulness about God's faithfulness fuels fearfulness and leads to faithlessness. And so it's important for us to understand this, because Israel would not let go of the past, and because they were still bound by the power of the past, peep, the journey from Egypt to the promised land was only 11 days. But it ended up taking them 40 years, where a generation ends up dying off because they would not press forward to the past. What is being held up and what is being prolonged in your life and the lives of those to come because you and I will not let go of the past and position ourselves to be honest about that which has come from the past? This is the last thing I'll note, that Moses, who is the leader in Numbers 20, verse 1 through 14, I'm not going to read it. Again, they start complaining. And Moses, this time, he's like, he got Ben, and he's like, yo, fam, I've been dealing with you, man, all this time. And somebody's going to catch a defas in their head. And yo, Scarborough just comes out all the time. Listen. But the crazy thing is that in this moment, when God tells him to speak to the rock, for water to come out. Moses is vexed and he strikes the rock. And because of the attitudes of the people, Moses ends up losing the opportunity to go into the promised land because he allowed people who couldn't let go of the past to stop him from obeying what it was that God told him to do. Can I tell you today that you got to get to the place where you do not allow, I know, the unfaithfulness of others to stop you from being faithful to your God. I don't care. Because see, it's built in your life. They're not going to get to the place where they want to let stuff go. But you got to get to the place after you have been concerned that you're just concerned but not consumed. To the place where you miss what God has for you because your loved ones don't want to let go. And there are many of you that are missing what God has for your life. And the reason why is because, watch, you are a recipient of the indirect power of someone else's past. Amen. So I came today to tell you that God wants you to let go. He wants you to forget the past, not the lessons that you've learned, but he wants you to let go of the past by the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He wants to set you free so that you can see folk, you can look at your sneaky link in the face. Amen. That, some of y'all don't know what a sneaky link is. That person that you were around the corner with, come on, that you used to mess around with and all this stuff, and now it's gone, and you used to still feel certain things, that you can look them square in the face and say, yeah, you're here, but you have no power over me. That person that touched you, you can see them at the family function. Come on, somebody. But because of the power of God, they don't have any power over you because a greater power resides in you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm done. So I want to pray. To just close this moment. And somebody here, you may be someone and you're like, you know what? All that sounds cute. But I'm in a place seriously where I'm at the end of the rope or where the past has power over me and I've been allowing it to hold me bound. And I want to be free. I'm here to tell you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, that there is freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let us know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We sung and we asked for the Holy Spirit to be present here. The Holy Spirit is here as we've been lifting God up. And I want to tell you that you can be free and that God can give you the power no matter what it is that you have faced or what you've experienced. God can give you the power to be able to take the steps you need to experience that freedom that has been provisioned through the cross of Christ. He died for you. He loves you. He rose for you. And today he extends freedom. And so if that's you today, every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment, if you're like, that's me, Pastor, I want you to pray for me that God would deliver me from the power of the past. I want to go back to that restaurant and not be afraid to eat. I want to be able to go, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Whatever, you fill in the blank. I believe God wants to give you freedom today. If that's you, can you just pop your hand up where you are? If that person is you, I'm unashamed. There it is. I know that you were touched. And you may not have ever told anyone. My wife, she testified this past Sunday. And she said she was touched repeatedly as a six-year-old. And it wasn't until in her adulthood that she was able to finally... And she shared this publicly, this is why I'm sharing this. She was finally able to tell her parents about what happened to her and the freedom that happened as a result. And that might be you. You might be saying, I want to be able to have that conversation. I want to do what I need to do. Can you just pop the hand up real high? Those hands up wherever you are. I see those hands. I see them all over this place. We believe that God can deliver you from the power of the past. And so I want to pray. Even as you're lifting your hands, you're not just lifting your hands as just a random act, but you're lifting your hands in surrender, saying, God, I give this thing to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. And I want to pray over you in this moment. So I want you to extend your faith to God. And so tonight, oh great God, we come to you. I thank you, Lord, for the power that we have through the cross. Thank you that your blood prevails. Thank you, oh God, that today you have brought us here not on accident, but on assignment, Lord, and because you want to set us free. And so every person who is extending their faith to you in this moment, God, I pray that your supernatural deliverance would begin to heal hearts, heal minds, break chains, cause deliverance. We just declare to every evil thing, up and out in the name of Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I ask that you give courage and give strength. Give courage and strength that tough conversations that need to be had would be had. That people that we need to let go of and cut off, that those people would be cut off, that we would delete those numbers, that we would do what we need to do, that we would set up the accountability, put strategic people in our lives, that we would be able to have what we need to be able to be free. I thank you, and I give you the glory for what you're getting ready to do in this moment and what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, drop those hands, open those eyes, and come on, let's give God the praise in advance for what he's done and what he will do.